Yeah, so we've got a couple of books left. If you've been with us, we've been talking about the minor prophets, all the way through the minor prophets, and we're up at Zechariah. So I like the name Zechariah. That's what I named one of my sons, and he's out at camp in New York right now. But I love this book, and it's a great book. But what this book was written, well, Zechariah prophesied after Jerusalem fell and after the kingdom of Judah and Israel, all of them had been taken away into captivity. So what Zechariah is a whole bunch of visions that kind of deal with, and I almost said Puerto Rico because I keep seeing the Puerto Rico flag, but when Israel was taken away captive, the temple was destroyed. So a lot of what Zechariah is talking about is how God is going to bring back the temple and temple worship. And then he has visions about a coming king that is that's going to come and make everything right. So there's lots of, we call him the Messiah or the Christ, and we know that that's Jesus. So there's lots of messianic prophecy in the book of Zechariah, and we're going to get to see a little bit of both of that today. Temple being restored, and the king coming. So will you pray with me, and then we'll get right into the text at Zechariah chapter 3. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it reassures us and shows your heart, your true heart towards us. Father, I am one here standing before you that's unworthy to speak in your name, but you have made me worthy, and I thank you for that. And I'm also one that has listened to many lies about who I am and who you are. And I pray now that as I speak through this passage, that you would be speaking through me and that you would be encouraging people to see themselves the way, and myself, the way that you see us. And I pray that you would put a blessing on your word today and that it would change all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lots of people wondered why they bought this dump, all right? So they bought, I'm talking back when I don't know if you know a little bit about my history, but I was a pastor in Philadelphia for 11 years. So, and before I got there, I took over for a guy that started a church, and they were able to buy a new building, and it is very echoey, is that? Yeah, that's kind of echoey, isn't it? But they were able to buy this building. They had this building that was a large house in a pretty rough neighborhood of Philadelphia, and then the American Legion bought it and built a post on the back. So on the top of that, on the top floor of that was like a dance hall, catering hall. On the bottom was a bar, all right, for the American Legion. And for about 10 years from when they bought this property, all that was operating of the 11,000 square foot building was a bar at the bottom. So the rest of it was vacant, the rest of it was trashed, and you can imagine that people from the bar went and wandered all throughout the rest of the building, and you can use your imagination about what kind of trash and leftover stuff that was there. If you can imagine it, it was probably there, and I won't go into details about that right now either, but basically this building was a nice building, but it was a dump. It needed to be cleaned up. And part of what, thankfully this happened, the cleanup happened before I got there, so that was kind of nice. But what happened was they just rented dumpsters and just took out just trash upon trash upon trash. And then they went to the dance hall and the catering hall, and the floor was completely black. It was just like nasty. They're like, so what kind of floor do we want to put down? And they started cleaning it. And you know what they found underneath was like this beautiful parquet floor. It was really nice. And like the building got all cleaned up. And I got to be the privilege of being the pastor there for a long time, 10 years, but it was over a decade after cleaning up this forgotten, filthy, terrible building that God used it to draw many people to himself, to make disciples of many people. Lots of people came to know Jesus through there, and God really used it in an amazing, powerful way. And that's exciting. But that kind of reminds me of how I feel about myself. And I think probably there's some other people that are in here thinking the same way. And I don't want to overstep, but I can imagine that there are people that think like that. It's like there were times in my life where, you know, I thought that building, how could God ever use something that filthy to do his work? Anybody ever thought that about themselves? How can God ever take somebody so filthy, so sinful, so horrible, deep down, if anybody really knew, how could God ever use me? If you ever thought that, you don't have to raise your hand, but all right. This is going to be interesting today, isn't it? So, if you ever thought about that, and if you ever dug deep into your heart about that, you start to realize it's true. And this is something that I talk about sometimes, is like, the closer I get to the Lord, the more sinful and apart from him that I realize that I am. Anybody can identify with that? It's like, I kind of realize, like, there's something wrong with me. Why would God ever want to use me? And you know what? Like, I think about this, and there's some good example in Scripture of people that did this. All the way from Moses. You guys remember Moses? God asked him to tell, you know, let my people go. And what did Moses say? He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. He's like, I can't do this, Lord. Like, I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. Why is he going to listen to little old me? And he felt unworthy and unable to do that. Fast forward a long time. Jesus is going and tells a fisherman, cast your net on the other side, right? And he catches this huge, huge catch of fish. And what does the man Simon says that's later named Peter? Does anybody remember what Jesus or what Peter said to Jesus at that moment? He said, go away from me, Lord. Why did he say, go away from me? Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For I'm a sinful man. Anybody ever felt that way before? It's like, once I realize who I am, like, God cannot use me. God cannot, I cannot have an impact for the Lord because of what's in my past, what's in my history, what's in my head right now. Even how can God use me for that? And you know what happened in this passage that we're looking at, Zechariah 3. So just once again, the history here is the temple is destroyed. Temple worship is done away with. So there's no more sacrifices to take care of the sins of the people of Israel, because they had a sacrificial system there to actually cleanse their sins. And what happened is every year they had a high priest that came in the Day of Atonement. There were two goats. One was killed for the sins of the people. One, the sins were confessed on this goat and sent away. Now this was no more because the temple was gone. The high priest was gone. But God wanted to bring that back for the people. Problem is, they needed a high priest, and the high priest was like a hereditary line all the way back from the first one, which is Moses' brother, Aaron. And from Aaron, the high priest line could be traced. And now at this point, there's a man that's ready to step in as high priest, and his name is Joshua. And what we get in the vision of Zechariah here is an amazing vision, is that Zechariah is getting a look into some sort of courtroom type atmosphere here. And let me read it to you, and then I'm going to explain who's here, all right? So then he showed me Joshua the high priest. So that's who I'm talking about, the guy that's in line to become the high priest. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan at his right side to accuse him. So I talked about Joshua. And then to his right side was kind of like the prosecuting attorney, right? It's kind of like that. And it's a person here, and this is a supernatural person. We don't get to know much about him in this passage. But throughout Scripture, we get hints and pieces and ideas of who this person is. And what he's called here is Satan, which is, that's a Hebrew word for it means adversary or accuser. So Satan is standing next to him and doing what he does, accuse him. Has this ever happened before in the Bible? Anybody know the book of Job? The book of Job, right? God is like, have you noticed my servant Job? And Satan's like, he's just worshiping you because you bless him all the time. So Satan's like, take everything away from him and he'll stop blessing you, or and he'll stop worshiping you and he won't follow you anymore. And so God did that. And then Job was able to remain faithful to him. But in this picture here, we have the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan accusing him. And we're going to see why he's accusing him in a little bit here. And if you see in verse 3, just to let you know, now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. So, all right, so I work with kids. You guys know that a lot. So sometimes I use, sorry about this, but I use potty humor because kids like that sometimes. So when you say filthy clothes here, that's the Hebrew basically for poopy clothes is basically what that was. So you can imagine the high priest that's supposed to take care of Israel is standing before the angel of the Lord with poop all over his clothes. Sorry for the potty humor, but that's a pretty vivid picture of what's going on here. It's not only he looks dirty. Anybody ever see somebody that's dirty before? Not only does he look filthy like that, but can you imagine the smell? Thankfully, I didn't bring something to give you an example of the smell, but can you imagine how bad that smelled with him standing before this angel? Now, I didn't get to talk about this angel, but this is, so if Satan is at the right hand, kind of like a prosecuting attorney accusing him, the angel of the Lord is not standing on the left to defend him. He is the one that they are both facing. So if you're in a courtroom, who does that make the angel of the Lord? Makes him the judge, right? So he's the judge that they are standing before. And Satan is just saying, how is this guy, this isn't written in there, but it's kind of, this is what you can imagine is he's accusing, like, this is your high priest? How in the world are you going to let him stand before all the people of Israel? Look at how filthy he is. Look at how much of a sinner he is. And if you want to go back in history, the first high priest, anybody, Aaron's brother, was the maker of the golden calf, right? And God forgave him and let him be the high priest. So Satan is like, look at where this high priest is. He is totally unworthy to serve you. But I want to talk about this person here. It's the angel of the Lord, all right? So, and I'm just going to give you a hint. This is more than an angel. This person shows up in the Old Testament a few times, and a couple of very specific times, we find out that this angel of the Lord is God himself. The first one is, I'm talking about Moses a lot here, but the first one is Moses. It said he went up to a bush that was burning, but not being consumed, right? And inside that bush was this person, the angel of the Lord. And this is the one that called Moses to be the deliverer of Israel out of Egypt. And you know what that angel of the Lord told Moses as he stood there? Take off your sandals because the ground you are standing on is, you guys know what he said? It's holy ground. So he's basically saying, the angel of the Lord is saying, I am God, take off your sandals, and because you're in the presence of God right now. Another place is in the book of Judges. There's a man and a wife that couldn't have kids, and the angel of the Lord, this angel of the Lord came and visited them and said, you're going to have a son, and this is how you're going to raise them. And at that time, the guy's name is Manoah. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is too wonderful for you to understand. And he went back up into heaven and he said, oh, I just saw God face to face, and yet I lived. So that's where another part where this angel of the Lord is. So who is this guy? What we really believe, angel of the Lord, we're not sure of every time in the Old Testament when it says angel of the Lord, but this person right here standing as the judge is Jesus before he became Jesus. This is Jesus in non-human form. The big theological term is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, as he's standing there, and he's the one presiding over this case. So what I want to get across here today is, what does this angel of the Lord do? So, that's good music too. Wow, I'm getting distracted. All right, so at the right hand, Joshua has Satan accusing him and saying, you are not worthy to do what God wants you to do. And he's standing there in filthy clothes, which I already told you about. And this is what the Lord said to Satan. And a lot of times what happens when the angel of the Lord comes up, we just see the Lord speaks. And it's the angel of the Lord speaking because he is God himself, right? We talk about that. We believe in one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is God the Son, or Yahweh the Son, and this is what he said to Satan. The Lord, or whenever you see the Lord in all caps like that, it means Yahweh, it's God's name. Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. Yahweh, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? So the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus, is saying, you don't have a case here, okay? Just be quiet. I rebuke you. Be silent. This is my chosen instrument. I've like picked him out of the fire to be used for my purposes. Okay? Does that make sense? That's what he's doing. And then now Joshua, verse 3. Now Joshua is dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I've taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. Then I said, probably Zechariah the prophet got to speak in the vision, put a clean turban on his head. So he put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Now let's just think logically about this passage. Is Joshua worthy to stand in front of God as the high priest of Israel? No, he's not. He's a sinful man, and it's kind of represented by his filthy clothes. It's like covered in poop, right? He is not worthy to be in front of God and to serve for God in his temple. But the angel of the Lord says, Satan, you don't have a leg to stand on. I'm going to take care of this. And so he had his filthy clothes taken off and rich robes put on and said, I have taken away your sin and will put rich garments on you. And then they put the clean turban on his head. So this is the point that I want to make for this whole passage, is that just like Joshua the high priest, we can make an impact for the Lord if we allow Jesus to clean us. All right? We can make an impact for the Lord if we allow Jesus to clean us. And the Lord, just like he did with Joshua here, the Lord can clean us up so we can make an impact for him. And that's kind of how it is here, is Joshua is totally unworthy to serve God, but God says, I want you to serve me. I'm going to take your unworthiness off and put worthiness on you, and that way you will be now eligible to serve me. And then he goes on in verse 6. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among those standing here. So here's how things happen. If anybody can hear me. Here's how things happen. God calls us to give us a specific plan, just like he called Joshua. He gives us that plan, and then it's up to us to say, okay, I'm going to follow you and walk in your ways. And if we remain obedient to him, he's going to use us for amazing things. And I believe that for everybody sitting in this room, everybody watching the parade, everybody going through the parade, God can use all of us to do great things and to make an impact for him. So this is what I want to talk about now is, where are you at right now in your heart? This is kind of difficult. So please pray for me. As I talk about this, has God ever called you to do something for him? Has God ever said, I want you to serve me. I want you to live for me. I want you to do this for me. And when you really start to think about it, it's hard, isn't it? When you really start to think about it, you think, I'm not worthy to do this. And has that ever happened to you before? And I'm going to let these hopefully pass by really quick here. But think about that. Let's take those two statements right there. Number one, you are unworthy to serve the Lord. Number two, the Lord will never use you. Okay? Number one, let's take this with Joshua. You are unworthy to serve the Lord. Is that true or false? That's true. He is unworthy to serve the Lord. And for us, that's true. And as I was driving here this morning and praying about the message that I was going to give today, I felt an overwhelming sense of my unworthiness. And I think Pastor Joe can say this, and I know I've heard Pastor Mark say this too, and most people that stand here in this pulpit, Brent, I'm sure can say this too. I'm unworthy to do this. And I don't know if you ever felt this, like you felt like God wanted to use you for a specific purpose, and you felt, I am not worthy to do this. I'm here to tell you today that you're right. And I'm right. I am not worthy to do this. So that's statement number one. I am unworthy to do this. Number two is, God will never use me. That is totally not true. All right? So when we say, I am unworthy to do this, yes, that is true. Jesus is standing before you like the angel of the Lord. I'm going to make you worthy. I'm going to take off your sin, just like what he says here. See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. So he takes our sin away, and he makes us now worthy to serve him and to do great things for him. And that's what Joshua did, is he opened up, they built the temple, and he started out the temple worship with God, and that's what happened. So as I think about that today, I think about a lot in my life. And I'll pick on Pastor Joe because I know he's been through this too. But I've had that voice in my head. I don't know if anybody's ever had that voice in your head, like, you are totally unworthy to serve God. You're not good enough. No one's going to listen to you because you've been so sinful, and you should just not even give up. Do you know what those are? I don't know if anybody's ever heard those before, but those are straight lies from the enemy, just like what's happening, maybe not Satan, and I wanted to talk about this today too. It's not that Satan and God are in this cosmic struggle, and they're like, who's going to win, who's going to win? Look at this passage. Who's in charge here? Jesus is in charge, and Satan's like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. It's no cosmic struggle. Satan does, he can't do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. And that's what happens in this passage. But Satan is still with us, maybe not Satan himself, but his fallen angels are with us to tell us, you're unworthy. And I've had thoughts in my head like this, you're a loser, you're no good, you're unworthy, you might as well not even try. If you've ever, anybody ever had those thoughts before, those are directly from the enemy that is afraid of what God can do through you if he gets a hold of your life. And that's what this passage here is talking about. God says, you're not worthy. Come here. Let me make you worthy. And then you can serve me in powerful ways. So have you ever heard those lies? Don't listen to those lies. God can make you clean. God can use you in amazing, powerful ways. Remember Peter? We talked about Peter. He went from, Lord, go away, I'm a sinful man, to messing up and to denying him, to preaching in front of everybody in Pentecost through the power of the Holy Spirit and thousands getting saved. And then going on and more people were coming to know Jesus through his ministry. It's the same way. We are unworthy people, but God wants to use every single one of us for his purpose. Will you let him forgive you and take away your sin? So it's just as I think about that now, so do we go to the temple today and let God take our sins away, just like they did back in those days? Well, God made a promise in here because there is no temple today that you go to physically in the Day of Atonement. God made a promise about what he was going to do in the future, in the next part, in verses 8 through 10. So let me read that to you. And this is one of those prophecies that are in Scripture that are really hard to understand, but it's flowing with symbolism, and it's really cool. So let's take a look at that. Listen, O High Priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. So the priest and the high priest are symbolic, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But here's the prophecy. He said, this is what's going to come. I'm going to bring you my servant, number one name here, the branch, name number two, and see the stone, number three, that I have set in front of Joshua. Okay? And there are seven eyes on that stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. So the angel of the Lord gives a prophecy right here, and he tells about a person that is going to come, and he gives him three different names. Okay? You see that? I'm going to bring you my servant. If you ever look at this passage over here, this is Isaiah chapter 53. It talks about the servant of the Lord and what he's going to do. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. He's going to be punished. And the punishment that brought us peace that was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That is talking about the servant in Isaiah. And this is what the angel of the Lord, this is who he's talking about. I'm going to bring my servant, the branch, name number two, okay? The book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, there's a person that talks about coming, a branch coming from the root of the stump of Jesse. So what that's talking about is from the line of kings of David, there's going to be coming another person that's going to be king and that's going to take care of things. And there's all different kinds of prophecies that talk about the branch or the shoot coming off of the kingly line of David. I think it's done. Is that good? Now you guys can listen to me. All right. Did anybody hear anything that I said, or was it just... Okay. So now that the parade's over, I'm just going to start over. Is that okay? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So, okay. All right. So this person that is coming, the servant, the branch, so a branch coming from the root of Jesse, the coming king that is to come, And then finally, see the stone I have set in front of Joshua. It's talking about another person, the stone. Anybody think of what that prophecy is? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, our chief cornerstone. So three names for one person, and that one person is going to come to earth. Well, he didn't say he's going to come to earth. That person is going to appear. He doesn't even say how, because this is how Old Testament prophecy is. It's very veiled. But this person is going to come. He's going to be the stone with seven eyes on it. And Jesus is described in Revelation chapter 5 as having seven eyes, a lamb that has seven eyes. But kind of symbolizes the Spirit of God. So this person is going to be there someday. And there's going to be an inscription on that cornerstone that says, I will remove the sin of the land in a single day. So this was written 500-600 years before Jesus was born. But the angel of the Lord was saying, there's going to be somebody coming that's going to take away all the sin in one day. And how does that happen? We take a look at this verse and lots of other verses that are like that. Is that there's somebody's coming that's gonna die and take away the sins. So I kind of wish I was Zechariah at this moment. Remember, he spoke up and said, put the turban on his head. I wish I was Zechariah with my hindsight, 2,000 years after Jesus came and not 500 years behind. It's like, just tell him it's you. Just tell him it's you, right? Just talking to the angel of the Lord. That's going to be you, isn't it? But that's what it is. The angel of the Lord was standing here, God himself. What the Bible teaches is that second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, was become a human being as a baby, Jesus Christ. And he is the high priest that lived a perfect life. And he willingly went to the cross. And his death and his blood takes away all of our sins. And I could explain that, but the book of Hebrews puts this so amazingly. I just want to read you a couple of passages from the book of Hebrews. And he's talking about Jesus as the new high priest. And if you want to look at chapter 7, verses 23 to 27 with me. Remember, Joshua was the high priest, kid language. He had poopy clothes that was on him, stinky clothes. I have a kid down there that always gives me stinky sauce, I'll have to tell you. That's Aiden and Sarah, Aiden, Sarah, and AJ's. I'm going to give you stinky sauce. Okay, but anyway, so now I'm getting off track. But he had poopy clothes that he had to take off and got new clothes to put on. That was the high priest that was going to serve before God. Who is our high priest today? Jesus. And that's what Hebrews 7 says. 7:23 to 27. Now there have been many of those priests, including Joshua that we talked about, including Aaron and many, many others, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, right? He rose from the dead and lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is the successor. Remember what the angel of the Lord said? These men are symbolic of things to come. They're a symbol of what Jesus was going to be. And then the writer of Hebrews says, such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Not Joshua, because he was a sinner too, but someone that is pure, perfect. In verse 27, unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And that's what happened at the Day of Atonement. The high priest needed to make sacrifice for himself. Jesus didn't have to do that because he's perfect. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. Does that make sense? So he's the high priest. Where's your lamb? He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Then Hebrews 9:11 through 12 says this: when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. So where's the temple now? It's up in heaven, right? So he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. It's heavenly, right? He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. What is this talking about? I will take away this, I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. You see that? He entered the most holy place once in a single day for all. It's eligible for everybody by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So let's just talk about this together. We are none of us worthy to be in, first of all, to be in a relationship with God. Second of all, to be used by God. And that's because of our sins. And all of us are sinful. And the more that I and everybody else learns about God, it just makes us realize how deep that sin goes and how sinful that we are. But the fact of the matter is, God wants to use us in his great plan to draw people to himself for all eternity. We are not worthy, but we're like that fire plucked, or that stick plucked from the fire. He wants to use us for his purpose. And he makes us worthy to serve him, not by us saying, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then maybe I'm good enough to serve God. You can't do any, you know, you can do anything you can, and you're not going to make it up to God. So Jesus came and said, I'm going to become a human being and die the death that you were supposed to die in your place. So I'm going to make you worthy to follow me, to be in close relationship with me, and to be used by me. All right? Do you understand that? And this was his plan all the way from the beginning. He knew that this was going to happen. But we have to do something about this too. We can't just say, all right, we're covered and we're good. Remember, he gave Joshua the instructions to say, if you do this and if you do this, then you will continue to walk in my ways. Well, first of all, we need to get ourselves clean in God's sight. And that's just as simple as going to him and saying, will you forgive me of my sins? And I repent of my sins. Help me not to do those sins anymore. It really is that simple. But it's not easy because of what it cost Jesus, but it's simple for us to say, will you forgive me? Will you be my Savior? And then we can say, will you come in and use me to make an impact for eternity for you? So do you see how that works? Just like this passage. And I really don't know how much that you heard, so I'm sorry about that. But this passage talks about the high priest was not worthy. Jesus made him worthy, and then he made a prophecy that said, all the sins of the world are going to be taken out in one day. And that's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. So a couple things to think about today. Have you ever asked for that forgiveness and asked Jesus to save you and help you turn from your sins? If you haven't, and you feel, we sung about that, the weight of that sin on you, it's real. I've felt it. I still feel it today. But when we ask Jesus to say, will you forgive me? He comes in and forgives us. One of Pastor Joe's favorite verses is 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, not only forgive us, but put new clothes on us, right? To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleans us, and then he makes us worthy to serve him. And so, if that's you and you've never been forgiven, you can do that today. It'd be a perfect day today because Jesus left us a memorial of his body and blood that was put on the cross through communion. Make this the day today where you say, forgive me and save me, Jesus. And if you've maybe done that in your life, and you just keep looking back and you keep being reminded of where you fell, where you failed, where you sinned. And there's this voice in your head, which is a real voice, that is saying, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. No one's going to listen to you. God's not going to want to use you. Those are half-truths, right? Because you are not worthy. But is God never going to use you? Yes, He can use you. And God can make you worthy. So I want you to stop listening to lies. I've spent many, many years of my life listening to lies and saying, you're not worthy. God will never use you. God will never make an impact through you. And those lies can come and they can go. I still have them today saying that I just think of myself like this morning. I'm not worthy to get up there. Yeah, Mark, you're not worthy, but I'm going to make you worthy and I'm going to use you today. So think about that. Do you get that in your head? Is God calling you to something specific? And this is the key here. Now we don't say, I'm worthy, now I'm going to do whatever I want for God. The key is, okay, I'm worthy. And I remember Isaiah when he got his calling. He's like, woe is me, I'm an unworthy man. I'm a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. And then what he said was, here am I, send me. All right? What does God have for you? God has something in store for all of you. It's just a matter of if you decide to follow Him or not. If you decide to have Him deal with your sin, put on that new clothes and that new turban. I should have put a turban on. You guys would have remembered it better today. But, and God can use you in amazing ways. So just two questions as I close. And sorry I was long, but this was a difficult one today. So thank you for your patience. Number one, are your feelings of unworthiness and guilt keeping you from serving the Lord? Think about that. Are your feelings of unworthiness and guilt keeping you from serving the Lord? And I know this is a great church where lots of people serve, but I think there's people sitting here today that think, I have too much in my past, I can't serve God. Well, God will take care of that and He'll use you in amazing ways. Peter realized it. And he allowed Jesus to use him in mighty ways. Will you? Will you do that today? Number two, will you allow Jesus to clean you and empower you to serve Him? Because we can't serve Him on our own. But this is cool. He not only cleans us, but He gives us the abilities to follow Him and serve Him. So will you allow Jesus to clean you and empower you to serve Him? Don't let what's in the past keep you from being used by God in a mighty, amazing way. All right? Don't listen to those lies. Jesus paid it all on the cross, and He can use you in mighty, amazing ways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your plan. I thank you. I just pray that you would use whatever was spoken today, even with the distractions and the loud music, and pray that you would help us understand that you make us worthy and you want to use us in mighty ways. And I pray that the enemy would not be able to take us out before we start or even while we're going and want to take us out and take us off the wrong path. I pray that you would be there for us, protect us, use us. And I pray that if there's anybody here that has never been forgiven of the wrong things that they've done in their life, that they would now, even today, ask you to forgive them and talk to one of us about that. And we could pray with them or they could pray to you. But I pray that you would have an outpouring of your Spirit today to draw people to yourself. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.